The publican would not so much as lift up his eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, we looked at eyes, our Lord's eyes, brimming over with tears as he saw Jerusalem, which would soon be laid waste and destroyed for its crime of killing the Savior. And the eyes, too, of St. Mary Magdalene. She saw all of her sins when she saw her Savior, and her tears won for her salvation. And tears, perhaps, too, they wouldn't be out of place sometimes, tears of joy for the Gloria, for God's glory, for Christmas, for the little child is born to save us. Now today, we stay with the eyes, considering how the priest kisses the altar after he prays the Gloria, and then he turns towards the people and he greets them, Dominus vobiscum, the Lord be with you. He doesn't look at you, though. Like the publican, the priest does not lift up his eyes, but keeps them cast down. Looks can get you into trouble. Look at Mary Magdalene's sister, St. Martha. It's her feast day today. We have some beautiful statues of her in the sanctuary. And we read her last gospel at Mass because she's mentioned there by name. We're meant to look at her, Martha, the perfect hostess, poised, briskly efficient, competent. She's bustling about. Jesus Christ has just shown up at their door with 12 disciples in tow, and obviously he didn't call ahead. And it's dinner time. Never mind. She's making it happen. But as she supervises and gives orders and sees to details, and it's coming together, she pauses suddenly and sees her sister Mary. Why, she's quietly seated there at the Master's feet, listening, as though she were one of the invited guests. Martha can't resist. Lord, she smiles in that sort of a brittle tone of voice. Lord, doesn't it bother you that I'm left to do all the work? As she glances again with resentment at her sister. Now, go with me, that thought in mind, to the first gospel, the Mass. We go just a short distance, a few miles, from Bethany, which was Christ's safe house, his haven, with Lazarus and Martha and Mary, to his father's house, the temple at Jerusalem. Our Lord is telling there a story with a point, a parable. Two men are praying in the temple. Well, the Pharisee is supposed to be praying, but actually he's praising himself and not God. That's his personal psalm. He lists his good deeds. Well, a bit like Martha. I'm serving you, and this other one, she's not helping out one bit. The Pharisee sees the publican, and like Martha, he can't resist. He points out the obvious to God. This man's a sinner. Then he caps his list, glancing back at him with disdain. This publican. Martha, the Pharisee, it was the look that got them into trouble. It often does. It only takes one glance. Is this, I wonder, the reason for the rubric in the Mass? The priest follows all eight times that rubric Every time he greets you with those angelic words, almost the same as what Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary. Sometimes, for your Dominus Vobiscum, he turns to you. Other times, he faces the altar. But he never looks at you, not once. He's been praying, praising God for his great glory, looking maybe in his imagination at the Holy Child in the crib, or more likely looking at the altar card to get the words he needs for his prayer. But then, sometimes, the shepherds come in. They can't help the noise. They've got some lambs, and the lambs are bleating, and they might have bells around their neck, because they're shepherds. And so, a father remembers us. The noise might be a reminder. You know how sometimes at Mass, depending on which one you go to, there's shuffling behind him and settling down for a while. But the priest mustn't forget you, after all. But first, he kisses the altar. What did Mary Magdalene do after all of those tears washed Christ's feet? She's the saint of kisses, holy, holy greetings of love. That's a kiss. The Pharisee refused Christ the kiss of greeting. This was a calculated insult, but Mary Magdalene at that dinner made up for it and got herself forgiven. Nearly always, when the priest turns to the people, he bends first to kiss the altar, for it represents, remember, Jesus and all of his saints. For this reason, and also because of the gesture, the kiss reminds us that all blessings come from God through Jesus. He's our bridge. That's what pontifex, or high priest, means, uniting heaven and earth. But the priest has this idea, too. It's almost as if to excuse himself to the Lord for turning his back on him at Mass, even for just a moment. Forgive me, Lord. I'll just turn around and check on my sheep. You know my heart's with you all Mass long, so I'm leaving a kiss on the altar to show I love you better than anything or anyone. There's a moral or two in this story for all of us. We should never be satisfied with the state of our souls unless really we would like to go on praying if we could, instead of when we get to the end, that final sign of the cross comes with a sigh of relief. Think of St. Gerard Majella. Our Lord used to love to keep this humble lay brother in church. He was having ecstasies and things, and he wouldn't let him go. And one time someone heard St. Gerard pray towards the tabernacle, saying, "Please, Lord, let me go. I've got to go. I've got work to do." But another moral is that Martha-like, sometimes we must go. We must leave the looking and the listening to our Lord to see him in the person of our neighbor. And often that does involve cooking or dishes or something in the kitchen. So Father turns to the people. Only he doesn't actually look at you, lest he should be distracted. You could very well be clacking up the aisle, say something like that. Or at the low masses, sometimes people get the sermon time wrong and miscalculate. And sometimes, too, people are known to say, and not only young people, "I'll go to the 5:45 at Gertrude's," which is a polite way of saying, "I'm not going to church today." But God is no respecter of persons, and you all get greeted first with the gesture which accompanies the words. Father, as he says Dominus Vobiscum, slowly extends his hands and joins them again. What does that mean? He wants to include all of you in his greeting, everybody that's here in this blessing, and then enclose you all in God's embrace. That's the meaning of closing his hands. More, we're about to say the collect or the prayer of the Mass, but prayer presupposes God's grace. You can't pray without it. So Father wishes that our Lord may be with you. St. Paul, after all, today in the epistle, just reminded us that we need the Holy Ghost just to be able to say the holy name of Jesus properly. But with the Lord comes his grace, and how many blessings are invoked upon you in just those few words? Everything good comes to you, and every desire for good, strength in combat, consolation in suffering, encouragement in temptation. Why, it makes you want to get to Mass more than every 8 days, just to collect your 8 blessings. Dominus Vobiscum. Well, 7, if you get the bishop for Mass, because if he says the Gloria, when he turns around afterwards, he invokes upon you the peace which the angels announced in that hymn. And so he says to you, Pax Vobis, peace be to you. That's the greeting our Lord used most of all at Easter time. Thus, the bishop shows himself to be, one of the popes says, he shows himself to be the Lord's vicar. And his greeting contains in itself the fullness of all good. For the rest of the Mass, however, the priest prays as bishops pray, and everyone says, Dominus Vobiscum. But only the bishop, of course, has the plenitude of power, of blessing and of consecrating, and most of all, of ordaining priests. But this greeting of the bishop or the priest is not an empty wish, sort of a holy, have a nice day that you might get at Kroger's or someplace. It's a blessing which is spoken with power to benefit all who receive it. As our Lord says in the Apocalypse, I stand at the door and I knock. We have to open to him and he will come in. How do the people respond to the blessing invoked upon them? Through the server, they say, and right now in the summer, at the High Mass, you're singing, et cum spiritu tuo, and with thy spirit. As you do, you should sometimes think, well, how nice it is to be thought of at this holy time, and that the priest spreads his hands, this gesture, to show it. Of course, Father is thinking of you all and praying for your needs and intentions all during the Mass, but just quietly. So, at the Et Cum Spiritu Tuo, think of the priest for a moment. Pray for him to offer his Mass well. Send the blessing back to him. The Australians would say, back at you, mate. But we say with somewhat more dignity, Et Cum Spiritu Tuo. Maybe we can avoid that imitation of Martha, that temptation which came to her just momentarily to cast a critical glance on her sister, or the Pharisee who looks at the publican in the pew contemptuously to condemn him. The priest, Christ, turns to you only to bless you without raising his eye. Don't be too busy to receive it. And blessed, bless him back again in turn. Et cum spiritu tuo. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.